Good morning. My name is Bill Teeter, and I'm one of the elders here at Northfield Christian Fellowship. And I'm happy to be able to give the message this morning that the Lord's laid on my heart. Would you join me in prayer as we begin? Oh Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, my Lord, my rock, and my Redeemer. Amen. 2 weeks ago, Don Stuber walked us through some verses having to do with loving your neighbor as yourself. And today I want us to key in on probably the hardest one to do, which is loving your enemy. The people who persecute you, the people who mistreat you. How do you respond with mean and evil behavior without becoming mean and evil yourself? What do you do when people falsely accuse you, behave harshly and bitterly toward you, and make your life difficult? Some of you have already got somebody in mind right now that you may be dealing with, and if you haven't or have never had it, expect it. At some point in this life, you will have said person involved in your life. So pay attention. What we're going to do is we're going to look at a biblical example to start with, a very hard and painful relationship in the life of David. And so we have King Saul. In ancient Israel, Saul has been ruling Israel for years, but his repeated disobedience and irresponsible leading led God to warn him that he would take the kingship from him and give it to another. This consequence devastated Saul, and it led to his depression, a bunch of fault-finding and paranoia and bitterness. Saul became jealous and suspicious of David because he had many military victories. And even though David served Saul faithfully and even married his daughter, Saul's imagination became so big in this that he believed the worst in David and saw him as a rival who might have treasonous motivations. This led him to have outbursts of anger and hatred towards David. And eventually, David fled for his life, and many of David's warriors joined him. And Saul, who was full of rage, hunted him down. Now what I'm going to do is give you an abbreviated version of 1 Samuel chapter 24. Saul took 3,000 chosen warriors and tracked David to a place in the very hot, dry Judean desert. Saul entered a nearby cave so he could relieve himself and likely take a quick nap in the cool of that cave. David and his men were actually hiding in the back parts of that cave. And David's men whispered to him, "Here is the day that the Lord said to you, 'Behold, I will give your enemy into your hand, and you shall do to him as you shall see fit.'" Then David arose and stealthily cut off a corner of Saul's robe. And afterwards, David's heart struck him because of what he had done. He said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should have done this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed." David restrained his men from attacking Saul, and when Saul rose up and left the cave, David followed and called after Saul, "My lord, the king." And then David put his face to the ground. "Why do you listen to the words of men who say, 'David seeks your harm'? You can see how the Lord gave you into my hand in the cave, and others told me to kill you, but I spared you. I will not put my hand against my master, for you are the Lord's anointed. My father, the corner of your robe is in my hand. You see, there is no wrong or treason in me. I have not sinned against you, even though you hunt my life. May the Lord judge between us, but I shall not be against you." And as soon as David had finished speaking, Saul said, "Is this your voice, my son David. And Saul lifted up his voice and he wept to David and said, you are more righteous than I, for you have repaid me good, whereas I have repaid you evil. So may the Lord reward you with the good of what you have said, done for me this day. Surely you will be king someday. Swear to me that you will not destroy my children or my name when I am gone. And David swore this to Saul, and Saul went home. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. David did not return evil for evil. He honored God by showing Saul mercy. He overcame evil with good in a most courageous way. Your and mine hard and painful relationships are probably nowhere near this hard, but let's see what we can glean from this when you are facing your Sauls in the future. When we are dealing with selfish and mean people, we are often dealing with someone who is blind to their own sin. Many times they do the very thing that they accuse you of. They will dish out insults and disrespect, being very impatient and angry, condemning and even vengeful. If you are living under those conditions, you are also battling your own selfish bent because you want to defend yourself and return fire for fire, insult for insult. But God calls us to a different way. In Romans 12, it says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. And a big one here, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The verses here, while maybe hard for us, they are not suggestions. They are directions for how we are to shine in a dark and broken world when we are being mistreated. Which is why Scripture has to warn us, do not be overcome by evil. When we get defensive and we dwell on their evil actions and words and speculate on their evil motivations, we will stew in resentment, become bitter and alienated. If we lash out in vengeance, how are we any different than them? Or if we turn back and go cold and silent and cut them off, that is still vengeance, just a different kind. And in the end, evil is still winning. Unfortunately, the path to avoiding evil is not labeled. Try another one. So how do we avoid starting down that path? The Lord will provide a different way. In 1 Corinthians, it says, no evil temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape so that you can bear it. There is another way, and the Lord has a different plan than you lashing out. For starters, one thing that we need to make sure we do is consider very carefully the counsel we get from others and that we give to ourselves. Flawed counsel. Beware of counsel that tells you what your selfishness wants to hear. Our friends want to affirm and protect us so much that they may not tell us the hard things that we need to hear. In the cave, David's most loyal friends and counselors advised him to kill Saul. They even use a verse to make that case for their vengeance. Fortunately, David considers the selfish implications of their flawed counsel. If I get Saul out of the way, I can end my pain. When I take vengeance, I will get justice. And when I get him out of the way, nothing will stand between me and the throne. But David knew the best counsel was from God. In Deuteronomy 32, it says, "Vengeance is mine," says the Lord. And so David eventually evaluated everything and chose faithfulness, which led him down the very hard path of mercy and loyalty and goodness, even when it could cost him his life. So beware of flawed counsel. Also, beware of the path that gives into grumbling, because you are to bless and do not curse them. In Philippians, it says, "Do all things without grumbling or arguing." I'll say that again. Do all things without grumbling or arguing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. You know, after I studied this verse for a while, I began to notice how often I grumble, both to myself and now and then to other people. And, you know, I think if we would record ourselves during a stressful or disappointing day, we would find we have an embarrassing tendency to be impatient and grumble, at least to ourselves. And actually, you don't need a recording. What you need is a grumble meter to avoid this, okay? And they are actually quite cheap. It is all the people that you are close to who are putting up with your grumbling and are too polite to say anything because they don't like to grumble. And if they did alert you about it, well, you might grumble and argue with them. So if you really want to know if you have a grumbling problem, ask the one friend that will not sugarcoat the truth to you, but be completely honest with you, and then respect them for it. Fault finding is a hazard for all of us. Looking for faults, if you do, you will find them. We who follow Christ should not be given to grumbling, fault finding. If you give room to it, next thing you know, it will finally come out of your mouth as an insult or gossip. Neither of those are good. And grumbling might not stop there. When we are impatiently grumbling to ourselves, we start down a dangerous path. We can graduate from grumbling onto others, onto thinking of others' evil motives. Then we tend to flatten the person to two dimensions. And so you might wonder, what do I mean by that? I mean, if they have spoken rudely to you or me, then they're just a rude person. That's what we'll classify them as, a category in our mind. Mind you, when we are sometimes rude, and we are, we only slipped up. Or maybe they provoked us. They are just mean and rude, and we're just a little over the top speaking our mind. We are complicated three-dimensional people, and they are just a two-dimensional cartoon. That's what we do to them. They are just rude. And we hold that against them. So now we have moved down the path road of the to a crossroad of bitterness. And a little further down that path, and there will become outbursts of our anger and even thoughts of getting even. Still a little further, and we get to unforgiveness, a hard heart, a cold shoulder. And finally, we have severely injured, if not broken, relationships, even broken marriages. Broken marriages have always had grumbling in the past in them that has never been stopped. Do all things without grumbling. Bless and do not curse them. Avoid a grumbling heart in yourself. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. In Luke, Jesus says, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you." And so Jesus right here gives us three things for us to grow in. First, our actions need to be good in spite of their actions. Jesus says to love your enemy and do good to them. And now God is not asking you to have warm fuzzies for your persecutor. He is asking you to behave Christ-like, showing them kindness, politeness, hospitality, and goodness and consideration. God says, if it is up to you, be at peace with them. God is calling you to strive to do good to them, whether you think they deserve it or not. Number two, our words need to be good in spite of their words. In 1 Peter, it says, do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, to obtain a blessing. And then in Proverbs, it says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouths of fools pour out folly. God is not interested in you venting your anger. It may feel justified, but it does a lot of damage in you and in them. The tongue of the wise works on creating solutions, not creating insults. So then in Ephesians, we go on to another passage about the mouth. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good in building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Here's some big ones. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Are your words building up or tearing down? You know, at sometimes you, like me, may need to bite your tongue till it will speak in a spirit of kindness and forgiveness. In 2 Timothy, it talks about the Lord's servant, and if you are a follower of Christ, you are a servant of His. Here's what it says, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil after having after being captured by him to do his will. Our goal is to bring restoration and resolution to the problem, and we should not be trying to win an argument. We should be trying to win our opponent through the love of Christ. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Finally, number three, our heart needs to be good toward them. This may be the hardest part. Even if we can hold our temper, a bitter heart will eventually show itself. A bitter heart may tell you to cut off that person. They are toxic. And yes, there are times when boundaries need to be drawn, but please be very careful. Did God treat you that way? Did he give up on you when you were messy and selfish and stuck in sin and doing evil? Did he? God has called us to the hard path of loving those who mistreat us. And so where in the world are you going to get the ability to truly love the unlovable person? If you belong to Christ, you can access it through the beauty of Christ's forgiveness. I want you to meditate on this. It took nothing less than the Son of God dying in your place and mine for your and my sin. He had to. And that should humble your heart because he had to. But even more than that, Christ chose to suffer and die for you because you and I are just that valuable to him. And that should melt your heart. If the King of the universe loves you that much, why do you let the insulting opinion and actions of sinful and broken people distress you? The more you deeply understand this love of Christ, the more you are transformed by the beauty of Christ's forgiveness. It will affect your thinking and your motivation and even your heart and move it from hard to soft. And you are not alone in your battles and your ability to persevere through persecution. And you can do it. It is possible. Christ is merciful to us, so we can be merciful to them. Jesus said to the soldiers who nailed him on the cross, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." He forgave them. Mind you, think of this. He forgave them before they asked. Stephen, who was being stoned, did the same. He forgave even before anyone would ask. That kind of forgiveness will release you from the temptation of revenge. It'll not be up to you. You will leave it in God's hands. We are to leave the wrath and vengeance in God's hands because only he is wise enough to carry out true justice. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We are to forgive them, and we are to pray for them. In Matthew, Jesus says, "You have heard that it is said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. We are supposed to bless and not curse, and our greatest blessing to them is to pray for them." So pray for them. Pray that, like the prodigal son, they would come to their senses. Pray that they might find Christ in his forgiveness and mercy, that they might escape the devil's traps, that they might repent and do good, that they might have eyes to see and ears to hear the truth, accept it, and flourish. Pray for them. It will also soften your heart when you do. You see, it is very hard to stay bitter and angry with someone you are bringing before Christ's mercy every day. And in the beginning, for some of us, it may be very hard because of the pain, you may only be able to say, Lord, have mercy on that hateful person. Well, that's still a start. And you will continue day after day praying for them, and God's compassion and patience will infect you till you pray for them with a true, compassionate heart, because you will grow to love them. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. If you cooperate with God's refining, and He is when you're in this situation, you will emerge more merciful, more thoughtful, more compassionate in all of your other relationships. The actions and language of God's people should be characterized by us being a blessing. Bless, for it to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. Now we're going to close with Aaron's blessing of prayer. It's from the Old Testament, and since the time of Moses, this prayer has been recited and chanted in Jewish synagogues to bless the congregation, as well as by parents to their household during the Sabbath dinner. Jesus knew this very well. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give all of us peace. As the worship team comes, I would ask to see if you could kneel with me in prayer. Would you join me? Heavenly Father, please have mercy on us and help us to remember your scriptures and your wisdom in our trials. Please forgive us for being overcome by evil and being evil ourselves. Please help us to avoid grumbling and quarreling, but be kind to everyone and patiently endure the evil. Please inspire us to do good to those who mistreat us, and bless when we are cursed. Please transform our hearts with your wisdom and compassion, and teach us how to love the unlovable people in our lives. Please help us forgive and pray for them. Please have mercy on them and lead them down the path of wisdom and the truth of your gospel. Please deliver them from evil and the evil one. And please grant them forgiveness and repentance and peace. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.